Today we celebrate the feast of St. Joseph of Copertino, often known as the Flying Saint, because he would experience mystical phenomenon that was relatively unheard of until his time. He would particularly go into ecstasies at words about Our Lady or images of Our Lady. Oftentimes he could not control himself in this matter because it was a divine gift. But often, when we reflect upon the lives of the saints, we think that those extraordinary phenomena are the things that made them saints. But in the life of Saint Joseph of Copertino, we see that those consolations and gifts of the Lord were not what made him a saint. What made him a saint was how he persevered through those lack of blessings that he had received by nature. Indeed, by worldly standards, St. Joseph of Copertino would be a primary victim of the eugenics program in our modern society. They would have tried first to convince his mother not to have him even before he was given birth, because it seems that God deprived him of any gifts of nature. He was clumsy, he could not hold a sentence together, he would always break things. It seemed that his father, who was a good man as well as his mother, often misunderstood and vilified in the story of the life of St. Joseph of Copertino, but he was a good man and a good woman. She was somewhat strict in her understanding, and so she had somewhat of a worldly understanding of how her son should behave. And his father was not that adept with money, so St. Joseph of Copertino, who had a weak constitution by nature, was often found with illnesses that would bring him to the very brink of death because he was unable to eat sufficiently because of his father's inability to manage the family finances. And so he struggled through his early childhood. But yet, St. Joseph of Copertino, during all this, never complained to God, because he understood that the reason we were put on this world was to serve our Lord and to love him. And so, even as a child, he had a deep and profound love of the Lord, and that is precisely why he is not to be judged by human standards. For by human standards, he would have been called, and indeed he was called, a lousy lout, an imbecile. St. Joseph of Copertino was not one who was going to come up with the miraculous discovery that would wean us from our dependence upon fossil fuels. St. Joseph of Copertino wouldn't even want to probably have tried to do it, because he would have realized that God gave us fossil fuels precisely so that we may use them for the things that we use them. And so he always saw things in a supernatural light. He would not have contributed to the gross national product, and so he certainly would have been singled out as someone who was not good for society. And so it was that he persevered through this, and then he was sent off to religious life. He tried, his first attempt failed. And indeed, St. Joseph of Copertino would say that when he was deprived of his habit upon his first attempt at religious life, it was like the skin being ripped off his flesh when the habit was removed for him. He would again come to religious life when a superior who understood that we must not judge by man's standards, but by God's standards, realized the delicacy of his soul and the deep and profound love that burned in this clumsy soul of Almighty God. For he could not often express in words his deep love of the Lord, but St. Joseph of Copertino would never, as a child or as a religious, come up with those excuses by which we often seek to escape our responsibilities. How often do we see children feigning clumsiness or feigning ignorance in order to get out of the obediences their parents give them? Well, St. Joseph of Copertino would always try, and he was always try almost knowing that he would fail. He would drop some dish or break something that he was entrusted with the care of, even in religious life. But he would never use that as an excuse not to go back and try. And so, each and every moment he did it with the knowledge that he would probably fail according to human standards, but not because there was even the slightest degree of malice in his soul, simply because God did not give him by nature those gifts of which he never complained of being deprived of, because he knew what was most important was to have the love of God. And that love he would preserve even as a child, and he would grow in that love constantly, ultimately receiving the greatest of God's gift. For when his mystical experiences began to manifest themselves, he was at one time considered to be possessed by the devil and even chained down, and the chains would not be able to hold him. For these were gifts of God, and the attempts of men cannot hinder the works of God in the soul. And so Saint Joseph of Copertino would proceed, and then God would begin to deprive him even of many of those consolations, to which he would say to a friend when he wrote, and indeed in his writings we see very clearly that Saint Joseph of Copertino was understood. For we are not to understand that Saint Joseph of Copertino was deprived of his reason and that he was truly an imbecile, because he could not express in a human way his profound reflections on the mystery of the faith. That does in no way mean that he did not have profound mysteries of the faith, and they truly come out in his writings. For he wrote once to a friend, when God would deprive him of those consolations, that is, ask him to bear the intense suffering of that feeling of abandonment by Almighty God, when asked what he did, he said that he complained to God about God, and that is not to be understood in the strict sense that he was cursing God. It is to be understood in the sense that he was asking him, Lord, why do you not love me? What else must I do to gain your love? Eventually, Saint Joseph of Copertino would be visited by a mysterious friar who would again return to him the consolations that he had received. That friar was never to be seen again, and so we can safely assume it was the Lord himself, because when he came, he told Saint Joseph that he would take care of him. And so those consolations that showed Saint Joseph of Copertino that God truly loved him were returned to him, but he was no longer in any way attached to them, for he ultimately knew that the mystery of our life on earth is a mystery of suffering with Christ. And so, while he was filled with these extraordinary mystical experiences, he always had something to suffer, always something to offer, because he was always and everywhere considered by many to be a clumsy imbecile who was incapable of doing anything. But as was said, he never sought to escape those things, to use his lack of natural gifts in order to get out of the work. He would simply always and everywhere go forward and try his best to do what he was asked, because he knew that ultimately it was God himself who was asking him. And while he failed by human standards, he was quite successful by earthly standards. And so God also wished that this great saint would be called to the priesthood and offer worthily the holy sacrifice of the Mass, but it would not have been normally possible. And so on his first examination, he was asked to comment upon a passage from Scripture, the only passage in Scripture that he could give a commentary on. And so he was advanced. And when the final examination that would culminate in the ordination of the seminarians took place, the bishop interrogated many students, all of them giving brilliant discourses on the mysteries of the faith. And so the bishop was called away, and he just assumed that all the brothers that he had not yet interrogated had the same level of understanding and knowledge that could be expressed as those he had formerly examined. And so he gave his approval that all would be ordained. And so Saint Joseph would be ordained a priest in the Church of Almighty God and offer that sacrifice which alone is pleasing to the Father. And he always would have extraordinary sufferings of his own to unite to the sacrifice of his dear Lord and Savior at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And so he is truly an extraordinary saint, and a saint as all saints, who speaks to many of the modern errors of our time. How often we fail to see that what is going about in the world would have ultimately culminated, or at least it would have culminated in the attempt to see that this man did not even see the light of day. Often we do not often see how hidden these eugenic programs are in our life. For instance, the March of Dimes, which was ultimately an attempt to be able to identify certain human conditions so that the child could be destroyed in its mother's womb. And yet, Saint Joseph gives us an example that it is not these standards by which we are to judge, it is the standards of God. It does not matter whether a man or a child cannot contribute even in the slightest to the gross national product. What matters is that he was called into existence by Almighty God. He has the right to be given that existence and to work out his salvation in the manner of Saint Joseph of Cupertino. And so we honor him this day and we ask him to intercede. He who was so devoted to the Mother of God that merely words about her or images of her would send him into the deepest mystical ecstasies that have probably been seen in the lives of any of the saints. And so let us ask him that he intercede for us with the Mother of God so that we, as a society and as a world, may come to judge not according to the standards of men, but according to the standards of God, and to see that it does not depend upon what we can ultimately do, but Saint Joseph of Cupertino would be the first to tell us, if God has given us certain gifts of nature, we must give them back to God in the best manner possible, not trying to diminish them or not trying to hold back, but to give everything, because it is precisely what he did. He had by nature relatively nothing to give, but even that he gave totally and completely, knowing it would bring nothing upon him but reprobation, epithets, and all manner of suffering and persecution. And yet he would never complain. The only thing he would complain about was when he felt that God did not love him, and that would only cause him, because it was truly an honest and deep prayer spoken from the very depths of his heart, was pleasing to God, and so it merely served to increase God's love in him. And so he was constantly growing in holiness in imitation of her who from the first moment of her existence was perfectly holy, and every moment after that, without any defect, her holiness would grow. And so Saint Joseph was always seeking to grow in love of God, because he knew in the end that was what was most important. And so let us strive under the influence of grace to give everything back to God, that is, to put everything at the service of Holy Mother Church and her mission to gain all souls for the kingdom of God. But at the end, let us see that it is not the things we do in this life by which we are ultimately judged, but by the love that we have for God. For if we fail in everything we are asked to do, as long as we do it with goodwill and an upright intention as Saint Joseph, it is a pleasing sacrifice to the Lord, even if it does not succeed by worldly standards. And so, let us no longer cooperate with those attempts to destroy man, those attempts covered in all manner of ways, that is, that avarice for this world and its things by which we are now told to involve ourselves in the green movement, which ultimately, if we have ears to hear, is ultimately saying that a good majority of the human population must be wiped out so that an insignificant few, thinking themselves intelligent, may enjoy the things of this world. God can renew this world in an instant, and it does not matter what damage man may do. Saint Joseph of Cupertino understood that full well. And so, let us not be fooled by false philosophies that ultimately are an attempt to destroy mankind, not simply in the soul, but not simply in the flesh, but also in the soul, to strip him of the desire to even turn to Almighty God, always turning and always having his minds on the things of this world. It is not dependency upon fossil fuel that is the problem with the world. It is dependency upon false philosophy and thinking that happiness comes from the things of this world. The fault in the world is its lack of dependency upon Almighty God, that which Saint Joseph of Cupertino teaches us in the highest way. And so, let us turn to him this day asking him to intercede for our world and for our nation and for all peoples of this world and of this nation, that they may truly come to count things as he counted them, first and foremost to love God and then to serve our neighbor in accordance with the dictates of our faith, so that truly we are loving God in them, so that all things redoubt as they did in the life of St. Joseph of Cupertino to the glory of God. And so let us especially ask him to give us that profound love of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, who helps us to see things not by worldly standards, not by human standards, but always by divine standards, always by the standards set down and taught by her Son, so that we are always in this life striving to work out our salvation in fear and trembling, knowing that at the end of our lives what matters is if we have tried to please God and not man. And if we have done that, then we will join St. Joseph of Cupertino augmenting the angelic choirs, which do nothing but praise the glory of God for all eternity, the very purpose they were created for, and the rightful goal of all human beings.
Christus.